B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop, bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore. Pizza time.
Hit me like a bow.
Wall dick, where you at?
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Well, I guess it's the cigarettes, you know, everyone gets to sneak a cigarette on moving day.
Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Wow, far out.
Saudi Arabia, party, yeah. Fun.
Ground beef is really a winner nowadays.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Zoe. Hello.
Hi.
A lot of positive response yesterday. Where I went, I think it stopped by 100 people, but the four or five that did talk to me loved it.
Mixed.
Oh, yeah?
Well, my wife, of course, said that we'll play it at 7 just because it happened late in the show, but we had that. Jake Paul is like a piece of crap. I don't care about who he's fighting. So we were offered him, and we were like, all right, let's just have... And it was going to be Rich's kids, but for some reason they couldn't do it. So I just taped my daughter reading different words and questions because she was very into this Jake Paul. Jake Paul, you probably know him as a YouTube kid that gets like everyone all pissed off, and now he fights people for money. And now he's fighting someone I don't even know who he is, some ex-MMA guy. And we had my daughter. He was on this show called Bizardvark, but he was kicked off Bizardvark because he taped this. He went into this woods like in somewhere in the Far East.
Japan,
where people had been killing themselves. So he got fired from this Bizardvark show. So we said, maybe if we have him on, we'll just only talk about Bizardvark and we'll just have my daughter do it. And so my wife was like, well, because, you know, she was listening because it was going to have Zoe. And she's like, well, you took the easy way out. And I'm like, okay. So having him on, coming up with the concept of having Zoe be the person who talks to him, taping Zoe, having them cut up Zoe, then coming on and allowing these huge pauses, not speaking, and just having her play was the easy way out. Now, you might not have liked it, but I got news for you. It would have been a lot easier. What, are we going to have him on and yell at him? I mean, that's what the guy does for a living.
That's what he wants.
So, I mean, say what you will, but the easy way out, it's a very labor-intensive easy way out.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable. Every time I told Rich, every time I'm behind the board and I shut off the mics and, like, we're still on the air is very uncomfortable for me. I have to stand up. I don't like it.
Yeah, I was watching you yesterday.
I saw that. I'm like, where are you going?
I don't like it because I'm out of control. Like, right. It's not in my control any longer. So I'm not a big fan. So, I'm not a big fan. It's just that I'd rather just not be around the board. It somehow absolves me of all responsibility.
Sure.
I'm not by the board. So I was like, and I'm like, what are you talking about? But my wife is saying a bunch of stuff nowadays. Like, we were in this big traffic accident, this big traffic jam, going south on 24 to Newport last week. And traffic is totally jammed up going south. And going north, it's fine. And she turns to me and she goes, do you think that the traffic will have to slow down over there because the accident's on that side? And I'm like, what? And she's like, do you think the traffic will have to slow down because the accident's on that side? Why would the accident be on that? Like, what are you talking? Like, she says stuff like I have no, like, her brain is
and I used to think it's because she's not working, but now she is working. It's very concerning. And then she gets mad at me because obviously I go, what the hell are you talking
you
about?
That comment that just do.
Yeah, like I'm like, what's going on? There's like a million of them recently. I've been like, what are you talking about? Oh, I go, I'm reading this book. This guy, Tom Sharpling, and in it, he talks about how he had electroshock therapy and it erased like a lot of his memories from youth. And she goes, is it a good thing? I go, that it erased his memories? And she goes, yeah, is that a good thing? Because like, did he erase the memories he wanted erased? And I'm like, oh my God, like this is who I'm living with?
He came with a list. He was like, I want this one and this one erased.
Yeah, exactly. Like you go in and you go like, I had a traumatic experience. Can you erase the memory? Right. Like they climb into your brain and like, not you. Yeah. I'm here for this guy.
Parents' death gone.
Yeah, exactly. Like you just, so no, Stephanie, what the thing was is that he was having suicidal thoughts and they were they think if they can reset your brain, and one of the terrible fallouts of it, at least at the time, what they did was that your memory will be gone. It will erase your memory. Like, you know, like people don't want to not be able to remember things, Stephanie, and Lord knows they can't pick out the memories that you would want to forget.
Is this, these conversations, is this, how often a week does this happen?
Oh, man. I mean, every time I'm with her, she says something and I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then, of course, she gets pissed off at me because I'm like, what are you talking about?
So your day's a series of obstacles to be climbed over or sidestepped before you get to the end of the day.
I mean, there's some days, we don't really talk that much.
Oh, all right.
So like, well, because think about it, because I get up, she's not up. Then I get home and she's working. She's, of course, there. She's always there.
Right.
And so then she's working and then I'll go take a nap and then I'll get up from the nap and then, the kids will be there, but now Zoe will be there. So we'll go to the pool or something with Zoe or we'll be home and or Zoe will be around. So there's really not that much talking. But, you know, in a car to Newport, mm-hmm. walking onto the beach in Newport. I mean, these are all times where these conversations take place. And I'm wondering if I was just anesthetizing myself to the idiot stuff that was going on in my house. And now that I'm not anesthetized.
So you're worried that this has always gone on.
Yes, but I've just been coping with it in different ways.
I see.
Yeah, you just didn't notice before.
I just didn't notice before.
So you're erasing those memories.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's the game plan now?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because one option has been taken off the table, you see.
So I'm obviously forgetting a lot of them, too, because there's like a lot of them. A lot of times I've been like, what are you talking about? Because I do appreciate that she'll say, like, this wasn't funny. And if she said the Logan Paul or the Jake Paul thing wasn't funny, I'd be like, all right, yeah. I mean, I didn't think it was, like, the most hysterical thing we've ever done. I didn't think it was, you know, this tremendous. I'm not, you know, sending my agent a tape and saying, you know, spread the word. You know, it's not one of those things. But the idea that you took the easy way out, I say, this is the exact opposite of the easy way out. The easy way out would be to book them. And then go like, you know, you're a clown or something like that. Like, what am I afraid Jake Paul Jake Paul is going to ruin me verbally, that we're going to get into a verbal altercation and he's going to take the cake? No, it's much more uncomfortable doing that. It's much more uncomfortable having all that go on. It's cringy. It's like you don't know what's going to happen. And just the amount of labor involved in it is intensive, much more intensive than just picking up the phone. But then she shuts down. So, like, I'll be explaining this to her, and she'll shut down. And then you might say I sound like a know-it-all. Well, in that house, I know it all. I mean, no one knows anything but me. I am the know-it-all in the house. And then it drives her crazy. Like, Milo got a bunch of kids at Milo's camp got strep throat, and they, like, looked at his throat, and they're like, they're going to put him in this. They said they're going to put him in this like nurse's thing or whatever. And if he had it, he was going to have to take a cycle of antibiotics. And then he was going to be able to go out after 24 hours. And I said, I guarantee you that it sucks in there and that I really hope he doesn't have to spend the 24 hours. And I guarantee you that he's like freaked out because anytime they move you
into something when you're at, like, and it's all out of your control, and he's not allowed to talk to us. I go, I guarantee he's freaking out. She's like, no, no, it was great at camp, and you got to go in there, and it was air-conditioned. I said, all right. Sure enough, 5 days later, we get this note. They put me in isolation. It's called isolation, and he's like, I really wanted to talk to you guys, and they wouldn't let me talk to you, and, you know, it sucks, and da-da-da-da-da, but then she sees that I was right and gets pissed off. Like, she gets preliminary pissed off, or what is it called? She gets pissed before I can even say anything.
Premature escalation.
Yeah, she will prematurely escalate things.
Yes. It seems like it to the next level.
Seems like you've been married.
Do you think, Fred, do you think this will be one of the memories that Milo will have to try and erase later on? His camp memory will go and say, yeah.
Well, nowadays they can just they shrink themselves down and crawl through your ear and find all the bad memories, the bad ones.
Sure.
A lot of them have to do with camp.
That's how it's done. Yeah.
Well, I was watching Dave, the show Dave, about this rapper Little Dicky, and he goes to this bar mitzvah. He's paid to go to this bar mitzvah. He's talking to the kids, or he's talking to these girls before he goes to bar mitzvah. And he's like, oh, all these memories about when he was 13, when he was Miles' age, when you get bar mitzvahed. And he's saying all these things, and the girls go, that must be a Jewish camp thing, because he's saying about all these disgusting things that he's done. And they're like, that must be a Jewish camp thing.
And then you're like, what is Milo doing?
Yeah, exactly. What do a bunch of 13-year-old kids... Now, he hasn't hit puberty yet, which is good on his end, because I can only imagine once the puberty hits and you're with 15... I mean, right when it hits and you're with 15 boys in a cabin, because for females who don't know this, when puberty hits for boys, it's a show. It's a scene. Like, you are given this gift in this this new ride, and it's time to... Take it out on the test track every time you can.
And the weather's been so good lately about getting out and
You're trapped inside
not
a lot.
Not being in a tent.
A lot of temptation. You
know? And because I hit puberty when I was, I know it, when I was 12, when I was in sixth grade, and he's going in eighth grade. He hasn't hit it, but he has a later birthday than me. But the, like, a Lita Ford ad and, like, Hit Parader would lead to, like, I'd be uncomfortable. Like,
the Sears catalog would come in the mail.
I mean, anything. The Weather Channel. I mean, we've been over it a million times. Yep. The Vicki Lauren Show. I mean, anything that when I woke up in the morning during the summer that was on TV was, that was my girlfriend for the next 5 minutes. But, he has not hit puberty, so at least that's going on, because he's not going to go back to this camp, any camp. But
this is his last year. He's done
of like camp. Like every note is like, how's my baseball team doing? I want to play baseball. Like da 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 da. So he wants to play baseball. So he'll go to probably a week long baseball camp where you spend the night, and they'll definitely do stuff during the day like being a camp, but like overnight. Go out to the woods. You're here for 3.5 weeks. No, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
No. I mean, some kids love it, some kids don't.
When's he coming back? It must be, get another week?
Wednesday morning.
Oh, that's a kick in the ass. Random Wednesday? They can't keep him a full week?
No, I mean.
Can't make it Friday.
I don't have to go to Amesbury. I mean, that's good.
Okay.
So when I come home from work, he'll be there.
Oh, well.
So
you don't have to do it. All right.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything. And the good thing with COVID is Stephanie doesn't really have to do anything either, because she just has to pull up and they'll have everything packed up for him. Oh, wow. But you're supposed to tip the counselors, like the two guys that are in charge of his room. And it was funny because they were introducing themselves. They pre-produced these videos that are just so stupid. And then they did this one before, like the day before camp. And it's the two guys, and one guy's like, hey, I'm John. I'm from, Boca Raton, Florida, and I'm really excited for camp. And the other guy goes, yeah. I got with just not a word I can understand. So, like, the thing is, what if we hand these guys all this money, and then the ride home, I was like, these guys were the biggest dicks.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, all right. Well, now I just gave them all this money. I mean, it's called a tip. Tip for service.
Well, you're tipping them for watching over your kids and making sure they don't hurt themselves.
Just like I tip at Subway now every time I go.
You have to tip the nurse for being in isolation?
No. No, I think the nurse is a medical professional. That would be unethical to tip the nurse. But yes, now you have to tip everyone. Now when I go to Subway, which is a fair three times a week. Then I put in the credit card. There's a nice like judging button, and the owner is
they
the
turn
one.
The screen around for you to look at.
Oh, well, yes,
the owner is the one who makes the sandwiches. Oh. I mean, Jesus, this woman. I mean, she. I very rarely someone else working there, so it's her. And they open at like 6 in the morning and close at like, you know, 8 at night. And she's there all the time.
Wow.
And so, but I started adding it up, and it's $2.30 or $2 here. And if I do that 3 days a week, you know, 45 weeks a year, I mean, I'm handing her some coin.
Yeah.
I've gone out of my way to bring cash with me to one place that I go. Because when the screen turns around, then you get the look from the person. They're right there. Well, they're looking at you, and it's like 10%, 15%. Oh, no tip. And you're like,
there's a 10% option? Because I would
have seen one of those.
But the thing about tipping at Subway that I don't understand is there's no other option. Now, I worked in the service industry, if you listen to the show, for many, many years. And I understand the concept of tipping waiters and bartenders. They're not getting paid the full amount. And also, they are performing a service that they can decide not to do. I mean, like, they don't, like, the way that they wait on you is really up to them. And so the idea of the tip is an incentive to, you know, wait on you in a good way. But at Subway, it's a black and white interaction is that, you know, I order the sandwich, you make the sandwich, and then I leave. There's no other way. There's nothing that they in the sandwich is made in a utilitarian way. It's made in a conformed way. It's been shipped from the same place, put in the same bins, made the same exact way.
Yeah,
like they don't go like a little bit more ham. Like they don't do that. Like it's just this is how much ham goes on the sandwich. This is how much chicken breast goes on the sandwich, and then you're on your way. So the tipping part of it, I don't understand. There's nothing to tip. We're tipping for nothing. That'd be like if you went to the gas station, pumped your own gas, walked into the gas station to pay for your gas, or no, pumped your own gas, and then then when you paid at the pump, it said, "Would you like to tip?" Tip what? Well, we just dispensed gas to you. Well, what are you talking about? Well, what am I doing here?
That's true. It's Subway legit. There are little like cardboard trays.
There's
the meat. There's a prepackaged set of if you order a steak and cheese or a chicken.
There's no wink. There's nothing happening. There's nothing. There's no a little extra for you. There's nothing going on. There's no need to tip. A delivery person, you know. Oh, thank you. You got here in time. Right. The food order is correct. All right. Here's your tip. But at a Subway, I mean, there's no other option. They couldn't be in business. I mean, what are they going to do? Not make it? Then you don't pay at all. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. But it's a lot of money. Hundreds and hundreds of dollars on the top. Getting taken off the top. All right. Well, what a crazy day in sports. And I don't want to do what Maserati did yesterday. When I was trapped in the car while people were driving around with their doors open like this morning, who just a guy with his passenger door wide open driving down Route 9.
What?
Oh, yeah. Why not? Oh, yeah.
I'm
starting to go insane. I can't. I got to. Like,
the door was like wide open or like part of the way?
Like, I mean, wide. It was wide. It was open.
Okay.
The passenger was open. I mean, it was swinging around.
Jesus.
And he was just driving down Route 9. My daughter wanted to go out to eat last night at this place. And by the time we got back from whatever we were doing, I'm like, I can't go back on the road now. I'm like, I'll lose my mind, Zoe. I really apologize, but I can't. I'll lose my mind. I'll go insane. So I was listening to them, and they were pontificating on COVID. I refuse to do that. But the Red Sox had a game canceled yesterday. I don't really know why. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Sub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Remember when What's-His-Face from the Red Sox was bitching about not having the extra day off? Well, congratulations.
Got it.
You sort of got it.
Kike Hernandez.
Kike Hernandez. Yep. Much to the consternation of everyone, one that did not want to play that extra day, but I guess I don't blame him. Who wants to work when you don't have to? And it was supposed to be the big game, the big ESPN game, but the Red Sox-Yankees game was postponed after multiple Yankees tested positive for COVID-19, even though they are 85% vaccinated. They are over 85% vaccinated. They did not play the game. Why? Well, let's go and get some very open and honest answers from those involved.
The confirmed, and I can share with you, obviously, Loaisiga, Nestor Cortez, and Wandy Peralta are all have been positive now for COVID and confirmed. And then we have three pending situations that on a rapid test on multiple repeated versions are positive.
All right, so big deal. So good. So take them out of the game. Play. Why are you not playing baseball? Why did can anyone explain to me, 617-779-0985, can anyone explain to me why they canceled that game? Because I do believe there was an issue in the Phillies series they had, the Red Sox had, where there was a COVID situation.
Yes.
And they played.
They lost four guys.
Yeah. So
including that day's starting pitcher, Aaron Nola.
Yeah, so if guys have COVID, it's like if you blow an ACL or
that was Sunday, actually. That just happened.
Yeah. And so like if you have a splinter in your index finger and you can't throw, you're out.
Maybe there's some rule. I mean, the Yankees would have been
not down, maybes. Tell me why.
The Yankees would have been down six players.
Okay.
And the reason I'm saying maybe there's a rule I don't know about that says you have to have a minimum number of players
call them
available.
Up. They had plenty of time to call them up. They had plenty of time to, I mean, they could have fielded a team. Play. I have no idea why they canceled it. No one catches it from playing baseball together. We know that. That's a fact. That's not happening.
Yeah, you didn't see when Judge got on first base in the All-Star game. He was standing next to Freddie Freeman when Freeman was mic'd up. You didn't see Freeman get tested yesterday.
Well, now they're saying they're going to have to test these All-Star guys. Whatever. It's crap. They didn't catch it from him. And so you take them off. You take because the guys. Here's the deal: the guys that had it, you've identified it, and now they can go. Some of them who had been vaccinated, by the way. And then, but if you got it when you were vaccinated, you're not sick, whatever, but you can spread it, fine. So now you know. So go isolate. Fantastic. And then the other guys, to your knowledge, don't have it. But even if they did have it, you're outside, and they're not going to give it to the other team, and you're supposedly 85% vaccinated. Now you say, what about the Red Sox? They're not 85% vaccinated. And I would say that's those players' choice. And if they get COVID, in which they shouldn't from playing baseball because I don't believe a documented case of it being spread during an athletic contest, then tough luck. Then you have COVID and you get sick because you didn't get vaccinated. Yes.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because the NFL now is going to have a lot of hoops to jump through starting next month. But I was reading a report yesterday. I forget who it was. It was saying the NFL is not going to cancel any games this coming year. You have, I think it's eight teams now that have reached the, excuse me, the 85% level. But regardless of if you've reached that level or not, it's on you as a team. It's on you as players. If you test positive, you're going to hurt your team. It's a competitive disadvantage. And know that going into the season because the NFL has made up their mind. They're not canceling games. It's not going to be like last year. They're not moving games all over the place. You either have your players or you don't have your players.
And by the way, if you're an athlete and you test positive, what have we learned about if you don't have the vaccine? From Cam Newton, from Jason Tatum. I mean, it kicks your ass for a long time. So if you want your numbers to fall off, and that's the way you want it to go, because if you get COVID, Tatum and Cam Newton, is anyone going to argue what kind of shape they're in? I mean, what is Tatum, 24 years old, 25 years old? You're going to argue with his age and the kind of shape he's in, and it kicked his ass. He needed an asthma thing.
Yeah.
An inhaler. It screwed up Fournier. I mean, they're not lying.
No. I had it. I was a wreck for like 2 months, three months.
That's right.
That's right. So if you're an athlete and they go, I don't know where you're from. So they go, okay, you can get vaccinated. And if you get it, you'll miss a game. You still get paid, but you'll miss a game, and then you'll be back in a week, and you'll be able to play.
The NFL is having...
Hang on a second, though. The alternative to that is, if you get it, because you'll go, well, I can still get it. Okay, well, the alternative is you can get it, and then your season shot, because you can play, but you won't be playing at 100%, so your numbers will go down, and it will end up eventually costing you money, because people would invariably go back and go, look at what happened. Look at what happened to Cam Newton.
Yeah.
What if Cam Newton never got COVID? I mean, he wouldn't have been good, but certainly wouldn't have been. But he was playing much better before he got COVID. Yes, John.
The NFL is fighting an uphill battle because, and I forget which player it was, saying, I'm not getting vaccinated until...
Cole Beasley.
Yeah, I'm not getting vaccinated until I catch it. I don't know if that was Beasley, but whoever it was, the point is...
Beasley's the guy jumping up and down.
The NFL needs its players, as many players as possible, to get vaccinated, because in a relatively short season, only 17 games, if you're screwed for three of them, then
you're screwed for eight of them.
You're going to cost yourself a playoff spot.
It would cost yourself money. Put yourself in their shoes. It really comes down to money. And it's going to cost you money. You're going to be able to play, but you're not going to perform as well. The chances are. Now, there's a chance you might get it and you might not get sick at all, and fantastic. But why would I take that chance? So what you're saying, if you're an athlete, because if you're like in accounts receivable or something, like, I mean, it's up to you. Do what you want. But because you're making money either way. But if I'm an athlete, okay, here's my thing. I know I can get COVID. And I know, and I've seen it affect other athletes negatively, which will in turn cost me money. I am not taking the vaccine, I guess, because it hasn't been gone through what I feel is the FDA's amount of testing. What is the greater chance of affecting your life? Getting a vaccine that a billion people have gotten across the world, or knowing that your fellow athletes have gotten COVID and gotten sick and it's hurt their performance, and in Cam Newton's case, probably cost them money. So that's your whole situation. I wouldn't want to. I mean, weighing the pros and cons of it. I mean, I just think it's funny that there's this idea that there is a conspiracy out to kill everybody
or track them.
Tracking is what Hicks say, and tracking. Everyone's so concerned.
Small
I know what you do.
Chips in every shot.
You go to Walmart, right, and then pass out in your trailer.
But bring it back to baseball real quick. There's no excuse not to play tonight.
No.
I mean, they were saying, how many reports did we read said the series is in jeopardy? Why is the series? You know there are six people you have to deal with.
Yeah.
There are six. There's no like, well, we're contact tracing. You've identified
Stop it.
All of
yeah.
that.
And by there the way, six. There's a vaccine. And if the guys from the Red Sox, if people with the who's been vaccinated get it, they're not going to get sick. So big deal. Play. I can't believe they didn't play last night. And they announced it at what, 5? 4:45? 4:30. I mean, you had plenty of time. You could have called guys up. You could have gotten guys up there. I don't know. Who's their AAA affiliate? Rochester or something?
Is it Scranton? I don't know what Scranton.
Whatever. I watch The Office. You could get there in time. On The Office, they're in Scranton. They're going down to New York to Dunder Mifflin headquarters like you wouldn't believe. I mean, they go down there just to have sushi after one of the online parties. All right, well, they didn't play. I mean, they have to play today. There's no question about it. Real quick, Rob, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey. I don't know if you saw the tweet yesterday of Keith Olbermann, that nerd. He's talking down to all the players, telling them that they need to mandate vaccines, swearing at them, calling them selfish. Imagine if you're a pro athlete and you got this nerd in glasses and his three-piece telling you what to do.
His whole existence now is to tell people to get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, he did the same thing with Stephen A. Smith. I mean, every time he pops up now, it's to inform me that someone else in media is the worst person on the planet and should be fired.
He's always been self-proclaimed the smartest guy in the room.
But that's fine. Always. But I don't understand why telling me that other people that do your job should be fired. That's not smart. Smart is a solution to things, not sitting there telling people how they should get fired. And Keith Olbermann, by the way, is a big reason. That attitude is a big reason why people don't get vaccinated, because you treat them like children
And then what's your reaction when you get talked to like that? Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it just because you told me to. Don't talk to me that way. That's fine. And so when you yell, oh, you're dumb, and you I put it to you in a way, if I was talking to an athlete, that I think is very rational and logical. If you weigh the pros and cons, you know you have a definite window to make money. And if you get this, it's going to hurt a good portion of that window. Because how many years do NFL players play on average?
Depends
two
on
and
me.
A half?
Yeah.
So if I say there's, so this could take up a quarter of your earning potential. And if you miss that time, or you're worse than missing the time, you come back and you're not playing up to your potential.
Yep.
That hurts your future
earnings.
That's how
you explain it to you. You can't buy that extra car. You can't buy that extra house.
Well, no. That's like saying in Trading Places when they say orange juice that you might have for breakfast. No, this is no, John. I'm not patronizing. I'm saying so we know that there's a very real chance that you could lose this amount of money. Now, what are the chances in your mind that if you get vaccinated, it's going to harm you in some way? And then they would tell you, I go, what percentage chance you have? And then they would give me a percentage chance. If they were being honest, they'd say like something like 1%. I say, well, there's a 25% chance that you could get sick and it could hurt your career. And then I would hope that they would say, Jesus, screw it. It's not the best thing in the world. I'm not completely comfortable with this, but let's go. But what's it to me? Do what you want. I don't care that they didn't play last night. The only reason I care is because I just couldn't figure out why they didn't. No one was going to get sick. I don't know why they found out who had COVID. Go get rid of them. And the guys that they don't want COVID got vaccinated. The guys that didn't get vaccinated, they know the risk. So go ahead. It's like raw dogging it on a date, baby. I mean, come on. We know that what the chances are, and sometimes you just got to go for what you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It feels good, baby. Let's play ball. That's all I'm saying. We all take chances in life. So let's go. Let's play.
Some rolls of the dice are more dangerous than others.
Yes. Is it because Judge got it? Is that why?
Apparently. I would bet that's one of the reasons.
And he was around Red Sox players at the All-Star game.
Yeah, but they didn't want to play the game on ESPN without Judge. I wonder if that was what the thing
you
was.
You think ESPN treats this like it's the game of all games every single time these teams play. They're playing Sunday night. Is that a shock to anyone?
Well,
you lose Aaron Judge? I bet you that conversation took place.
I bet you it did. I bet you if Aaron Judge didn't have it, they would have played. Or at least there was a chance. It would have changed the conversation in some way. So there you go. There was no baseball last night. I'm sure everyone was very, very sad. It doesn't matter to me except... I don't like anything stopping because of COVID no more. I thought these days are done. Let's get moving again. Because every time you stop something, that means someone else doesn't go to work and pick up the check I sent them, and then I deal with all that. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Soul surviving, dudes so conniving, never stop driving. If this look like I don't let them sit behind you when you're driving. Might even think you're talking about them when you're rhyming. Oughta keep this toolie in the lining. Oughta thank the good Lord that you ain't the type to line them. Ain't nobody's business, why they always spying? Type listeners just fine, nothing get to lying. Turn the world against you.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Alright, John, your beloved U.S. of A, the colors that you wear very proudly. You are on the edge of your seat throughout 12 hours of coverage a day.
finding out if indeed the equestrian events are going the way of your beloved United States of America.
Don't sleep on the equestrian events. Every baseball writer from coast to coast will be watching the equestrian events this year.
Now, you're informing me of something. Is there a Springsteen involved?
Springsteen's daughter happens to be representing the U.S. in the equestrian events this year.
You know what, John? I'm going to go out on a limb here. And say that if you are wealthy, you got a leg up in this equestrian thing.
You don't say.
I'm thinking. Now, I here in Dorchester, I see a lot of equestrian training going on.
Now, you've been to polo matches in Newport. You've seen horse-related events, have you not?
Polo matches in Newport sound like... It sounds like it would be like a ritzy affair, like Pretty Woman. It's not like that.
That's how I envisioned it.
So did I. The first, because my college had an alumni thing at this polo thing in Newport. No, it's not. It's a lot of t-shirts and shorts. But the I'm guessing that the pool of people in, because like, do you know anyone? Rich probably does, but do you know, because he's with the hoity-toity.
I can already tell you the answer is no.
Do you know anyone with like a horse or anyone who does like horse stuff?
I know one person who does horse stuff, yes.
Because my daughter likes it when we're on vacation, but how do you even get into horse stuff? Yes.
Well, just from living, you know, I lived in Palm Beach for almost 8 years. Yeah, yeah. So that's the haven. So I was in West Palm Beach. If you lived in Palm Beach, you may have had a horse out in Wellington, which when I was living there was horse country. Now it's all developed and stuff. But that's where the polo grounds are, and that's where the winter matches all take place. But okay. I dated somebody that had horses, multiple horses.
Wow.
Because my father, yes. You know, had a horse. He lived in Fishkill, New York, and his grandfather was a guy in Montana, like a real, before Montana was overrun by celebrities, he was a real horse guy. So my dad would work on this working horse farm. He was in a rodeo, and my grandfather drove a horse down to Fishkill, New York for him.
Was it a rodeo horse or
it was a horse, like a rodeo horse.
Nice.
And so so my father is 79, and we went to Hilton Head, and I saw the horses and I smelled everything, and I'm like, I just don't want to do this for an hour and a half. I don't want to like sit on this horse. And my father was like, F it, I'm doing it. And then he got on the horse, and he was so proud of himself. He was, like, no hands in it and, like, dancing around on the horse. Like, he was just like, look at me. I'm a horseman.
Mm.
No fear at all in that, man.
Wow.
Because I told you they put one guy. It was another family from Boston. And it was a guy and, like, a son and two daughters. And they took this guy. He's probably 5'3". They took this guy. They put him on this thing that was probably 10 feet tall. And he just went, O-S,
yeah,
as soon as they put him on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, the equestrian events, John, it seems like something for everyone. It seems like something that we've all...
It's very inclusive.
We all... Yeah, very inclusive. We all know people that have taken riding lessons to compete in these events.
I believe Bill Gates' daughter has also represented the U.S. at an Olympic...
Yeah, so yes, basically if
just
you're...
Just to prove your point.
If you're a multimillionaire,
yeah,
then you have like a 1-in-2 shot of like making the Olympics.
Yeah, that's right. Bill, and this is... Mike, we're just saying Bruce Springsteen. Daughter is going to represent the U.S. at the
Western
event.
Yep.
So yeah, that's
so you. So my idea, I would assume, since you're riding a horse, that a lot has to do with the horse that you're on a good horse. So I would imagine these are raised for steeds and things of that nature, and that they make them hump and all. And so I would imagine the horse that you get is very, very expensive. And then it has to be trained, and you're not training it. So the horse has to be trained in a certain way, which is very expensive.
You are a passenger who hops on at the last minute.
Right. So it's basically, yes, if I bought the fastest car in the world, then I just have to get behind the wheel and drive it.
Yeah. No, so, I think that's a good comparison.
Right. So, so basically, if you have enough money, you can make the Olympics.
And you get to those horse-related events, which are on, like, now in the morning,
right?
But not anywhere, it doesn't sniff anywhere near prime time. But the horse related events are very odd. I mean, they jump over barriers and that's fine, but then there's some event where they like race through the forest for something. I have no
idea. Well, there's the event where they dance.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I've seen that. Yeah,
and that is, I mean, talk about something that requires nothing out of you. I mean, you just
gotta hang on.
Yeah, they taught some horse how to dance.
Yep.
And like, so you're basically just going like, kicking it a certain way or pulling the rein a certain way.
and then the thing dances around. So yeah, you can make, it's like archery. Like, you could make the Olympics as an archer if you just tried, if you liked it enough.
Remember Gina Davis?
Yes, I do. Of course,
she made. Did she make it or just?
I don't think she made it.
Yeah, but she was like one of the last two cut,
and she was like 50.
Yes, that's right.
She just decided to like archery.
Yeah,
because who's really like doing archery all the time?
My kid at camp once a week.
I was just going to say, when I was at sleepaway camp, that's what we did.
Yeah. Camp Young Judea?
Yes, archery.
They would hand you archery
bow and arrow, yes.
At Camp Young, would you compete against the other camps in the area?
No, we did not have, we didn't compete against Tevye. We didn't do that. No.
Adolfo did archery for a while.
Oh, you want to bring up the Canton story again? Let's bring up the Canton story.
Well, he went to the place that I went with my family when I thought, you know what, on Fridays we'll do something wholesome and family-oriented in the winter. And we went one time, and everyone just yelled at each other the whole time. So
you
joined
a league or something, didn't you?
No, I got, I had, it was a class that, it was three classes, and it was like not cheap, but we all got there and just started fighting immediately. And I said, well, my family's not built to do things together.
Rich had the best story. Rich is like, I'll drive you down. I'll drive you down to your lesson. And Rich happened to be there at the same time as Adolfo. Adolfo had gotten on a train and two buses.
Yeah,
to get to Canton.
It's in Norwood.
What the hell are you doing?
No, it's in Norwood. Yeah. I know exactly where it is. And yeah, and he was coming from Brighton.
I just thought I'd take it on the bus and, you know.
There's a Wendy's here?
Well, that's the place yeah. where when I walked in, there was a mannequin with a grand cloak on.
Yeah.
It was some kind of cloak. I'm not sure what it was. I should have taken a picture of it.
Come with me, son. Let's shoot some arrows.
I was too caught up in the incessant arguing that my family was going through about. And then my daughter just started crying because he said you're like left-eyed or something. Like you should look with your left eye, which sent her into a spiral of anxiety. I don't know why. Oh. Well, we're raising them right, John.
Yeah.
Get that anxiety in early and just work on it your entire life. Just keep it going your entire life. All right. When we come back, a bit we did yesterday, mixed reactions. We'll talk about it a little bit, and then we'll play it for you coming right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.